Hi, everyone, and welcome to a special simulcast of Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface of the Neil Haley Show. I'm excited to welcome to the program Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? And we're going to go to part two with Dr. Caxton today. And I mean, it's just been crazy in this last week of what's happening, for sure. And Truth Just Below the Surface is where we've uncovered everything before the craziness has come.
Neil, the title of this program is A Frontline Doctor's Exposé of COVID-19 Pandemic Part 2. And you can go back and listen to what Dr. Caxton had to say on the previous show at my podcast, which is www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com, spelling Libsyn. L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N, no periods, no spaces. Now, as you remember, Dr. Caxton is one of our resident experts on COVID. He's a board-certified internist with 31 years of experience, and he is a frontline doctor treating COVID patients. And also, Dr. Caxton is an expert analyst of scientific studies, and he goes back and understands the things that you and I might not understand and tries to put it in perspective and in terms that he can write about in his books, of which we're highlighting today, COVID-19 Remedies, A Frontline Doctor's View. Dr. Caxton, nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Dr. Ernestine. Thank you.
I'm going to try to remember where we left off, and I'm going to read to you a paragraph and then let you comment if you have something, and then we'll go on, okay?
Sure.
There is still no medical justification for vaccinating these young children, except there is a hidden agenda, or it's just plain corporate greed with total disregard for true efficacy. Again, I must emphasize that I am not anti-vaccine. The risk of harm outweighs the benefits of mRNA vaccines to children, and mRNA vaccines should never be compared to the effective immunization benefits from tetanus, measles, smallpox, or polio. We must apply the brakes on vaccinating children with these new vaccines. If we don't, then the policymakers may be psychopaths for allowing this to take place. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's self-evident. And the only question is, do people understand why I said that? Those vaccines, intuitively, even a 77-year-old lady does not want to take it. And so, and there's a reason, and more than 40% of the healthcare professionals don't want to take this vaccine either. So they're not stupid. It's because there's something that's sinister about the whole process. But even more importantly, the young children are developing what's called myocarditis. So that's equivalent of a heart attack for young kids. And I'm going to leave it at that for now, Dr. Henderson.
Okay, great. I might make a point that a traditional vaccine is defined as a substance that has a dead or attenuated, I mean, it's decreased virus in them, which brings on immunity in the host that is injected into. These are not traditional vaccines. These are something else. And they're calling them vaccines so that the drug manufacturers can get away with no liability legally. And they don't want to be sued for all the deaths and the myocarditis and all the other problems that they're going to bring on. I just want to make that point and we'll go on. You said proper representation of the results of treatments in clinical trials can be done using relative risk reduction, odds ratio, absolute risk reduction, or number needed to treat. Experts have chosen the last one, number needed to treat, as the best tool for evaluating treatments in clinical trials. That's what should be used in determining whether or not the new mRNA vaccines are helpful and to what extent. Arguing against this is pointless and at the same time revealing. Why revealing?
Because when you look at the Pfizer study that was published in December 10, New England Journal of Medicine, and the Moderna study published about 3 weeks later in the same New England Journal, the differences between the placebo group and the vaccinated group in those studies on the mRNA vaccines, the differences between the two groups is so small. It's so negligible. So in the Pfizer study, they looked at 21,720 vaccinated people and compared there with 21,728 unvaccinated people. In both groups, in the unvaccinated group for the Pfizer, there were 99.25% of people who were not vaccinated who did not get sick. So with that, to get to 100%, you only need 0.75. 99.25% of people did not get sick in the placebo group. So there's not much room for the vaccine to be shown to have any real effect or difference when compared to the placebo. So how does that then get interpreted into a 94-95% is based on this fraudulent use of statistics called the relative risk reduction. Vaccine manufacturers use that number to deceive everybody about how effective the vaccine really is, and I stand by that. You could use it in a classroom to calculate something, but in the real world, you cannot do that. And in the real world, we're seeing now that the vaccine may not be as effective, even though they're going to try to tell us it's because it's a Delta variant. They can come up with all kinds of variants. The point is that vaccine does not prevent transmission or infection. So think about this. Like you said, Dr. Nguyen, isn't that the job of a vaccine to prevent transmission and to prevent infection of the person that got vaccinated? And we now have a vaccine that doesn't do either one of those things.
Absolutely. Okay, now you said if the risk of severe adverse events, including death, is high, or if these adverse events are underreported or suppressed reports by the media, such a vaccine should not be forced on those who do not want it. Science is not tyranny. And if statistics did not support such a vaccine, it should not be given outside of clinical trials. Some may argue that absolute risk reduction is not applicable to the pandemic or to vaccines. The same could, however, be said of relative risk reduction, as it overinflates what vaccines can or cannot do. Yet we know how effective measles, smallpox, and polio vaccines have been eradicating the respective infections globally. Do the mRNA vaccines have the same efficacy? I don't think the mRNA vaccines should be compared with these other vaccines. Anyone with doubts about the safety of the newer mRNA vaccines is sane and intact as a critical thinker. To be skeptic about getting the vaccine shows a level of sanity in an insane world. And yet they're making everybody that has a question about vaccines sound like they're insane.
What more can I say about that, Dr. Anderson? I think it stated so clearly that there's nothing else to add to that. If you're thinking there's something wrong with taking the vaccine, how could something be wrong with you? Even though I've seen doctors showing and displaying their pictures have been vaccinated, it shows a level of either fear, coercion, or lack of critical thinking.
Exactly. And I want to jump to this, Dr. Caxton. We talked about this when we studied this on your podcast as we did, but about how the placebo effect versus the other in the vaccine, and the fact that we're forcing people to take a vaccine that might not even work with the new variant. And you're pushing people saying that this is the only way to save everyone is the vaccine. It's the end all be all. There's nothing else that can change it. So that's the crazy thing. And now that if, you know, I don't take the vaccine, Wynn doesn't take the vaccine, we are the reason why this pandemic's back.
Yeah. Well, the FDA has authorized this new treatment, and to be able to get this emergency use authorization, they have to do four things: show that it's a serious or life-threatening condition, evidence the effectiveness, say that benefits outweigh the risk of disease or treatment, and four, there is no alternative. Now, we can debate the first three, but the fourth one, which they have shut down from the absolutely beginning, is they want not for anybody to believe that there are alternative methods of treating. And that's just not true. There are safe, effective, inexpensive treatments that would not benefit the vaccine makers. And we've had this on programs before, and you go back and listen to Dr. Caxton and me talk about this. But there are things out there that you can get right today that will kill the virus if you get it. You don't have to get sick, go to the hospital, and you don't have to be put on a respirator. Now, so this EUA that the FDA has put out allows these drug companies to mass produce these drugs at a tremendous profit to them. And that's why they have done it, possibly because of greed and collusion. And but whatever you want to say is the reason they're doing it. Do you have a follow-up comment on that?
The main problem, I think, is greed. And unfortunately, this is one of the issues of science that I often defer back to the Bible, because there seems to be an answer there hiding all along. The love of money, 1 Timothy 6:10, is the root of all evil. And when you look at the evil that has plagued us with this pandemic, you can ask the question and you have the answer right in front of you. It was driven purely by greed. And you're right, I think greed is the number one reason. And those EUA criteria, think about this. These people have become so inhuman, and it begs the question, is it because they're totally ignorant or they have an agenda? That's my take on this. And is the agenda just money, or is it a little bit more than just money? That's a real question.
Well, I'm going to follow up on that comment with something that you wrote in the book, and it's going to take me a little bit longer to say it,
okay,
but it's important. So here we go. There are major players that make up the COVID-19 industrial complex. They might be responsible for the development and spreading of SARS-CoV-2 virus and creating this pandemic. They have the money and the political clout, and they can operate at any policy shaping level of government. That will be the only theory that explains the arrogant behaviors of the officials at the NIH, CDC, FDA, and WHO. It may also explain the behaviors of medical journalism terrorists, as well as the current battle among scientists and healthcare professionals over treatments and methodology at the expense of people's lives. We might have a money and power greedy group co-sponsoring and developing a deadly virus on one hand and hoping to bring a magic cure to the market on the other hand. they will make trillions of dollars while putting in place the FDA guidance clause for the EUD number 4 that hinders the competition from joining the feast. Alas, HCQ beat them to treatment line, and it had to be murdered and martyred. It reads like a Hollywood movie script. This may be the undisclosed truth behind the entire pandemic and the COVID-19 industrial complex stemming from it. While still unlikely, and I'm hoping the human race has not sunk this low, it still cannot entirely be ruled out. If this is true, then the special interest groups desiring the spread of SARS-CoV-2 in order to profit through vaccines and treatments will not want the pandemic to end. Disallowing any early unproven treatments was the only way to sustain the pandemic and the EUA. Otherwise, these, quote, unproven, quote, treatments would wipe out the entire pandemic, leaving nothing left for the COVID-19 magic bullet to eliminate and no heroes in the sponsors' camps. If this is true, then this group may have invested millions or even billions to pull off this seemingly sinister plan. So even when the vaccine's efficacy and safety is questioned, they keep moving their plans forward. How? By buying the political influence of a few powerful government officials. What if their plan is to hit the rich economy of the United States with both viruses and vaccines and make $4 to $12 trillion? And what if they intend to release deadly variants of these viruses intermittently, requesting more mandatory vaccinations every 3 to 9 months, and sell these new vaccines? If this is the plan, then the human race is in far more trouble than the current pandemic suggests. Even if there are alternatives to treating COVID-19, a group of decision makers in government are pretending they don't exist. They act as if these alternatives are more dangerous than the vaccine or the virus. They simply ignore the available data and doctors requesting the use of early treatment alternatives. From all we've seen so far, this looks like an ironclad plan that has been put to work. If the goal is to sell trillions of dollars of vaccines to the rich governments around the world, who is going to stop them? Making money, lots of them, is not a crime. Doing so at the expense of human lives while using unsafe treatments with high incidences of severe adverse events and pretending to be benevolent at the same time is a serious legal and ethical problem. Your comments, Dr. Caxton?
Self-explanatory, Dr. Wade. You think about the people that gather themselves together, and someone once said, if you're not at the table, you are on the menu to be eaten, basically. And when you see the pattern of things, my biggest concern is I love patterns. I like to observe patterns. And with that, everything you've said so far is that basically, and even with Neil earlier, everything we've said as far back as when I started the podcast is materialized. We just didn't know the extent to which they would want to impose their vaccine insanity, or rather the safety of the vaccines. I question the safety in the book, and we can see that with the issue of safety, with the issue of greed, with the issue of captured agency and officials, everything is playing out exactly like it's predictable. You want to inject pregnant woman. I read an article sometime, but at the beginning of the week, that's why I actually did a clubhouse room yesterday, and it was full throughout the 3-4 hours. The point there is, nobody in their right minds will want to inject pregnant women. But that article said, oh, now that we're thinking about it, we ought to have included pregnant women when we were doing the study on vaccines instead of waiting till now. And I paused. I wanted to respond, and I felt there's no point. There is a good reason, and it's sacrilegious to want to start a clinical trial and involve pregnant women at the beginning of that trial. And so, regardless of how great the results, you cannot wish you had put pregnant women into the result, the clinical trial from the very beginning. And we are talking, we have the highest incidence of what? Anaphylactic reactions in women and myocarditis. And, you know, that's serious adverse effects in young children and young adults. And yet this psychopathic thinking that I mentioned in the book seems not just to be coming to the officials, but to scientists. We have some mad scientists in our midst, Dr. Anderson, without compassion, without care about the human race.
Right. We're reading from Dr. Caxton O'Pair's new book, COVID-19 Remedies, A Frontline Doctor's View. This is a great book, and everybody needs to get a copy of it. In some respects, it may save your life. We're going to move on. And Dr. Caxton said, you'd be naive and wrong to think government officials are only concerned with scientific data and are not influenced by private entities like vaccine manufacturers. Between 1999 and 2018, Big Pharma paid about $233 million every year to senators and lawmakers. This was stated by Dr. Oliver Walters, March 2020 article in the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA, that came to $4.7 billion over 20 years. And what does Big Pharma get in return? In 2019 alone, the U.S. government spent $369 billion on prescription drugs. That's a good return on Big Pharma's annual investment. The amount of money they hope to make from this pandemic is beyond human comprehension. Dr. Caxton.
Yes. You know, you think about it. The people are, a lot of our doctors are naive. Neil introduced me to Clubhouse. On several occasions, I walked into a room. I saw some doctors, the way they were talking. Some people said they had adverse effects. Some were paralyzed. And the doctors saying, you're paralyzed after the first shot, get the second shot. All kinds of things. So I never go into those Clubhouse rooms. But when I do a room, some people come into my room and share the lack of compassion. It just brings us to this.
Crazy, yeah. They're thinking of themselves. Right.
And I don't know whether they've been to Neil's room, because Neil also has some super rooms in there. It's a disgrace on not just the human race, but the medical profession. But let's come back to the money side. People are not aware that the government officials are getting paid by Big Pharma. And if they are, they're not going to put that money into their regular accounts. They're going to set up Cayman Island accounts for them and pump money so that they can follow through with their policies. It's greed, and it's terrible. It's horrible. And when you think about the amount of money, in my book, The HCQ Debate, I said $4.38 trillion. And people say, well, how is that possible? Just think about this. If you can vaccinate a billion people with a vaccine that's $1,000 a piece, and you say governments take over that, a billion people is $1 trillion. A billion people vaccinated is $1 trillion. But my calculation in that book conservatively was $4.38 trillion. The COVID-19 magic bullet calculation. And for people to understand how much is $4.38 trillion dollars, I used a simple calculation. If you were told to make $1 million every hour you can work, and you work the whole year, 365 days, nonstop, and you pray to God to give you Superman strength or Superwoman strength, and you didn't sleep, you worked. And even when you took your breaks, they'll pay you as long as you're at work. So you went to work for a whole year, and you get $1 million an hour. You will make $8.76 billion. $1 million an hour, and you know nobody gets that. So $1 trillion an hour then means, wow, you're making almost a billion dollars an hour. And as a matter of fact, that $4.38 trillion is the equivalent of making $500 million an hour. And these people want to make that money in the shortest possible time from what it looks like. And it's not the money that they're trying to make, it's the lies and the lives that are what being exsanguinated, which makes me think, is it just the lies so they can make money? Or there's a depopulation agenda here? I don't subscribe to the depopulation agenda because I think that just gives conspiracy theorists who think the earth is flat and all this UFO stuff some grounds to reveal their insanity. But if we look carefully, you want to vaccinate pregnant women. You know, if you know the way studies are done, you're not going to think of pregnant women, except the whole idea is the pregnant women are the ones, if we want to depopulate, if we can get to the pregnant woman, we can destroy their womb, we can destroy their reproductive tract, then it begins to make more logical sense with that type of agenda of depopulation. And that's my take on that.
Okay, we're going to move on to another important point. You said if doctors, scientists, and government officials cannot agree on what's in your best interest, you should at least have information on what you can do for yourself and for your loved ones.
Yes.
You talked about I'm reading from your book. The mRNA vaccines designed to prevent infection, unlike effective tetanus immunizations, have now been shown not to prevent infection. That's why you still have to wear a mask after getting vaccinated. As a result of this primary failure of the mRNA vaccines in preventing infection, the pharmaceutical companies adopted the Texas sharpshooter fallacy. Well, what is the Texas sharpshooter fallacy?
It's a very simple thing, and I apply this to this vaccine. Remember, when you shoot at something, and then you go over to where you shot on the wall, and you draw a circle around it, and you shot at several different spots on that wall, and then you go there, and the bullet holes, you draw nice little circles, concentric circles around the bullet holes, such that when somebody else comes and looks at those holes, they think you drew the holes and you shot, and you're such a good marksman that you shot through the center of those circles, not knowing that it was after you shot the bullet holes that you made those circles. And that means the equivalent of pretending to be good with something that you have no idea how to do. And in this case, we looked at hydroxychloroquine. When they used it to tell us that it was ineffective, they said it could not prevent infection. Now, it's not supposed to prevent infection. It's to prevent you from getting sick if you even get infected. So that was a wrong thing to do on hydroxychloroquine. But now they brought a vaccine. The hydroxychloroquine is not supposed to act like a mask. So you could get the inhaled coronavirus. As long as you don't get sick, you should be fine. And that happened, and many of us still use hydroxychloroquine. But for the vaccines are supposed to prevent you from getting infection. Now, when you look at the clinical trials, they base the glory of the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccines on the ability of these vaccines to prevent people who got it from getting infected. Now people were having infections, they moved it and said, oh no, it's not supposed to prevent you from getting an infection. But isn't that what they got approval for? to prevent you from getting the infection. So that's a lie in itself. They've moved the target. And so they now say it's because it prevents you from getting seriously ill when you're hospitalized. I'll leave that for another day or another time. But the truth is, what they claim the vaccine was supposed to do for people, it is not doing. It's not preventing infection, which is primary prevention. It's not preventing transmission of the virus to other people, which is secondary transmission, secondary protection. Thank you.
Man, this is really Orwellian, isn't it? That's what you said in your book.
Yes.
What's happening now is Orwellian. Science has been bought and paid for by Big Pharma. While the massive budget of the NIH to support scientific research from tax dollars gave out $31 billion in research funding in 2011, Big Pharma spent a whopping $39 billion. Most academic and medical research centers around the world benefit from these two sources of funding and will do whatever they're told to do. That's why we keep getting conflicting information from our trusted academic, healthcare, and government institutions and individuals on COVID-19. These institutions and trusted individuals, tainted by Big Pharma, have no intentions of publishing the truth about HCQ, ivermectin, or other alternatives anytime soon.
I met one of the sponsors. His name is Steve Kirsch, who actually did the study on fluvoxamine, put down $1 million of his own money and raised another $4 or $5 million for COVID early treatment strategies. And I don't know the details of that project, but everywhere, a lot of professors of medicine who were actually talking about ivermectin, since they were able to matter hydroxychloroquine, people move to hydroxychloroquine, except when somebody like myself says, go back and look at those clinical trials. They were frauds. The information that you need is actually in those papers if you know how to analyze them. So a lot of those professors, Paul Marrick, either they're ridiculed or their papers don't get published in the right journals. And so doctors who are already burnt out, half of us, pretty much in the fields that matter, are burnt out. So we don't even have the luxury of time or the patience to look at journals. And what that means is the information that's being published is published in the journals that already get a lot of money from Big Pharma. And so the editors basically are probably instructed not to publish anything contradictory to their goals and agenda, to just make vaccines the only option. And there is nothing more dumb than that. People are protesting, but I think the goal should be for people to say, we want treatments, we want treatments, and get on the streets and start protesting that they want treatments, not just vaccines. It's okay, a shame.
We're coming close to our time limit for today. So I want to wrap this up by saying that I understand that Mr. Bourria, B-O-U-R-I-A, who is the CEO of Pfizer, and his family has not gotten his own shot. Now, if that's the case, and my sources tell me it is, what's going on here? The guy that's trying to get everybody in the country inoculated, get his shot and everything, won't take it himself? Think about that. The other thing that I wanted to say is, in this book, COVID-19 Remedies, Frontline Doctor's View, Dr. O'Pair has prepared for you 21 remedies, non-prescription remedies, that are helpful in treating the COVID-19 problem. You need to get this book to go through those 21 different type of remedies and to see what you can do even in a non-prescription form. and I applaud him for the research that he's done. Dr. Caxton, do you want to, in closing, say anything about contacting you?
Yes, sure. If you want to contact me, you can go to drcaxton.com or just go to Facebook Messenger and leave a message there. I also use Instagram, Dr. Caxton. You can go up there, leave a message for me. I get a lot of opportunities to share things with people. I don't do one-on-one consultation with people. I know the FTC is tracking everything I do, and it's insane. And I'm not bothered about it because I'm not driven by greed. God has blessed me. And so the key thing I want to say is this. What do you do if you get on a bus, on a boat, a train, a plane, or ferry, and you think the person sneezing, coughing in front of you might have had COVID? This book tells you immediately what you're going to do to protect yourself by seeing what's in the book, immediately doing one or two maneuvers there, or three. You are going to put yourself back on track for good health, even if you're at risk of more serious symptoms. And so I recommend people get the book, not just because it helps them, but because they're going to learn so much they can help others too, Dr. Anderson.
Well, Dr. O'Pair, we thank you for your time today. And it's an honor to have you on this program, Exposing Truth Just Below the Surface. So thanks again. And with that, we'll close.
That's and absolutely. I think that the information that we're getting, and this is why this is a master session, to really learn again the dangers of the vaccine, understand what's happening and what he is able to bring to the table is amazing. Dr. Henderson brings unbelievable information as well, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. And this is Neil Haley, and it's a special simulcast. So I appreciate, again, the special simulcast of Freedom for Addiction, Truth About the Surface, Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. Take care, guys.